This time we'll be reading 12 through 36. Genesis, the 37th chapter. Not a hard book to find. It's only the first book in the Bible. Starting with verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." The subject, changing your life forever. Changing your life forever. Last week we dealt with the first 11 verses. Joseph being the favorite, given a coat of many colors, and father showing favoritism. And so his brothers was already mad at him. But then he had to add insult to injury by expressing a dream. Not just a dream, but a dream that put them beneath him. And so we come to this point now where they see this dreamer coming. And by this point, they're tired of this 17-year-old kid. "We're tired of you always taking dad's attention. We're tired of you always being the forefront." And so they conspire to kill him before he even gets there. How many of us know people who like to kill dreamers? Some sitting right here. Folks in your lives that have visions and dreams of where they can go or where we can go as a people, as a future, and you turn around and kill it. You ain't gonna do nothing. You know how much money it takes to get that done? All the negative thoughts that a person needs, they will supply. Because they don't want to do anything. And they most certainly don't want to see you do anything. Circumstance versus purpose. So right now, let me define what circumstance is. The dictionary says a condition, fact, or event accompanying, conditioning, or determining another. An essential or inevitable commitment, concomitant. The weather is a circumstance to be taken into consideration. A subordinate or accessory fact or detail. Cost is a minor circumstance in this case. A piece of evidence that indicates the probability of improbability of an event. As a crime, the circumstance of the missing weapon told against him. The circumstances suggest murder. Two, the sum of essential and environmental factors. Circumstances. Situation with regard to things that are happening around you. Purpose. The noun says the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used. An intended or desired result an end, an aim, a goal, determination, resoluteness, the subject in hand, the point at issue, the practical result, effect, or advantage to act to good purpose. The verb says to set as an aim, intention, or goal for oneself. Purpose, which you strive to get to. These two words have become enemies because your circumstances or our circumstances have determined who we are. Last week I mentioned how the negative circumstances help you to build a brick house around you so that when it's time to get out, it's hard to fight your way through the brick and mortar. It's easy to have a hay house or a wooden house, something that when you enter into God's throne room and you realize that your purpose is bigger than your circumstance, you can blow those circumstances away. You know, those things where words just roll off your shoulder. But when you build a brick house of circumstance, it's harder to break through because you have spent so much time in a negative world. Isn't that something how negative thoughts and negative people can affect you in a way so much that you become negative? Things out of your mouth become negative. Now, remember when I said when we were born, we were free of negative thoughts. We came into this world crying for help. But no one came into the world a failure. It was built upon them from those who were around them. Many of us today can remember some of our upbringing when they always said, you're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. You're never going to amount to anything. You're sorry. You're trifling. You're lazy. Yeah. You're shiftless. You're black. Yeah. You're white. Yeah. You don't have no money. Yeah. You're never going to have any money. And what happens is after a while, yeah, you begin to believe these things. And when you begin to believe them, they begin to become who you are. Yeah. And so you begin to build a brick house of circumstances that says, I'll never achieve. But in the back of your mind, there's something that says, I must have a purpose. I must be here for a reason. Yeah. Yeah. And so your soul tries to figure out the reason why you're here. But as long as you stay around negative folks, you're not going to get to where you're going. Wow. Joseph is a dreamer. And God has placed these dreams on his life. Both dreams indicated the same thing. So we realize that we know that sometimes some dreams have no meaning whatsoever. But when dreams reoccur with the same theme, now we know that God is trying to talk to us. And he was eager to get these dreams out, maybe too eager. He was young, not understanding the full magnitude of the dreams, but yet I had to let my brothers and my fathers know that there was a dream and I was above y'all. I don't know what it means. I'm just letting you know what the dream is. And then there are the dream killers. Brothers. Why would a family member be a dream killer? You don't expect your own flesh and blood to be the dream killer. But once again, who helps build our circumstances? Yeah. Have you pushed your child to get the best grades? Yeah. Or do you allow him to bring whatever he gets in the house? Mm-hmm. Then wonder why he's failing. How much are you participating in the process of understanding why he's failing? Wow. Or do you get involved to make sure that they succeed in whatever they do? If not, you're helping build a brick house of circumstance. A child who graduates from high school, a low GPA, can't expect to get into college. not the ones they want, because the grades aren't there. And so what happens? I can't get in college because my grades aren't there, and I can't get a good job because you need an education to get a good job. I find myself even a bad job, no job, or maybe the military. Say what you want, but the reason most of us end up in the military is we had no other option. It wasn't really a choice factor. It was the best choice we had, but if we had more options, it wouldn't have made that choice. I'm involved right now with when I was in Atlanta, I was a big brother. And this young kid I hadn't seen in a long time, all of a sudden he reappears in my life, but through my investigation. Because I always wanted to know what happened to him. And I found out that he was doing good. And he was on a full scholarship. But of course, I find him when he's doing what? Bad. God knows when to put people in your life. He's in a position where he needs help financially. And all of a sudden, God puts me back into his life. You ever wonder why sometimes you got money and you don't know what to do with it? Yeah. If you don't, it's because maybe you ain't doing what you're supposed to do with what you have. Yeah. But when you bless others, God will continually put stuff in your cup. Yeah. He said, try me. Well, I try him all the time. And so I'm in a position now where he's trying to, because he was about to go into the military and I had to step in. Now, if that's your only option, fine. But let's look at some other avenues first. You know, he's a great football player, but still, you know, I don't care how good you are. If you don't have the grades, guess what? You don't play. And so we had to take care of some things and get some stuff done, and I'm trying to figure out some moves right now that he can do. But the fact is that the circumstances that he grew up in dictated where he would be. He didn't have nobody pushing him when he got to his first year. So what did he do? Like most of us, we played around, didn't go to class, played football. Now you're off the team. Circumstances can wear you out if you're unprepared for them. Well, let's go back to Joseph, the dreamer. Now he's walking into his nightmare. Wow. Now he don't know this. Yeah. These are his brothers. Right. I know they might be a little mad at me, but they ain't gonna do nothing crazy. But while he coming happy, they plotting how to kill him. Well. Own brothers. You know what? Let's take them out. I ain't making this up. Well. But when Reuben heard it, he delivered out of his hands, I'm at 21, saying, let us not take his life. I'm glad there was one voice of reason. Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him. All right, so don't kill him, but just throw him in the pit. Wow. We leave him there to die. Yeah. This is his brother, family, blood, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father. This was Reuben's so-called plot. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him. Now, look at this. They didn't even greet him. They ain't say, hey, brother. How you doing, man? Come on, let us talk to you. They jumped him the moment he got there. The moment the dreamer came, he got jumped. They stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. You know, this was a special coat. This was a coat of privilege, a coat of honor. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Circumstances. Looked like everything was fine for young Joseph. He was the favorite, coat of many colors. Circumstances indicated that he was going to be successful. But look how fast circumstances can change. Now he's in a pit, and the pit is empty. Worse yet, There's no water in it. How many of you have been in a spot by yourself? No way out. Left to fend for yourself. See, Joseph had a dream that would have propelled him everywhere. But it wasn't time for the dream to be fulfilled. He had some stuff that he had to learn. Circumstances, though, will put you in bad places. But purpose can get you out. Circumstances now look pretty bleak for this young man. Left into a pit, no water, and it must have been hot. Or they wouldn't have mentioned anything about water. In an empty pit, no water, thrown there by your family. You know, the ones who love you. Wow. Want to see you do well. Mm-hmm. Till you get saved. Till you start calling on Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Trying to fix them and upset the balance. Every time I turn around, he's trying to save somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're talking about you. Family reunion come, they out there having a good time, drinks out, partying, and here come your car, trailing smoke. Oh, Lord, here come the dreamer. Don't try to save everybody all of a sudden. And they drive you so much that you cave in sometimes. You water down the gospel. You try to appease the family because you're afraid. And the circumstances says, I need to go along to get along. Yeah. But you're not reflecting on your purpose, because purpose is bigger than circumstance. Well. Joseph, they started the camp. We done with this cat. No more dreams. Let's get his coat, dip it in some blood. Take it back to daddy. Show him all is done. Now, of course, there's always a conscience. So who was it, Judah? Going to try to backtrack. Say, I'll get him out. But they didn't fill everybody in on the plane. So when he got there, it was empty. Yeah. A free young man pulled back out of the pit because he had a better idea. We can't really kill him. Let's sell him. Would you sell your own brother out? Would you sell somebody back into slavery to increase your bottom line? Some say no. But a lot of us are selling each other out right now in order for us to get ahead. We sell each other out with a quick fastness, especially if it will affect us. Send you down the river. Set you up. Because there's the possibility of you gone. All this is mine. Isn't that something? Your circumstances have made you greedy, envious, jealous, downright treacherous. Sold him into slavery. So his circumstances now got even worse. In a pit, at least I knew where I was. Yeah. In slavery, I don't know where I'm going to end up. Well. I don't know how they're going to treat me. Yeah. But there was something in his spirit that would not let him die. Even though the whole world is against me, even though my family is out to attack me, even though it seems like God has left me alone, I remember a dream that I had. And that dream reveals some purpose. Now, I don't understand exactly what it is, but I know that the dream came to me at least two times. And I know that something is going to occur that I don't even understand just yet. But I'm not going to let my circumstances dictate the outcome of my life. I could easily cave under pressure. My family don't love me no more. My brothers and sisters, they just don't like me. My friends, they stop hanging with me. But I got a purpose that's bigger than my circumstance. I know that my job ain't the best job in the world, but I'm still making a living. I might not eat the best food, but I'm still eating. I got food on my table. I might not have the best home, but I still got a roof over my head. I might not have the best kind of car that I want, but I still got a method of transportation. I might don't have all the money that I need, but I managed to get all my bills paid each and every month. I can still pick up my phone and call somebody. I can still go to church and worship the Lord and my Lord and Savior. I know my circumstances are pretty rough. But my purpose is bigger than my circumstance. I'm here to change my life forever. See, you can eat. Joseph could have easily died in his spirit, right where he was. Well, he could have said, "And don't nobody love me or care about me. I'm going to stay in the pit." No, you ain't got to sell me. Leave me in the pit. Yeah. I'll die right here in the pit. Yeah. But he allowed them to sell him into slavery. Yeah. The Bible does not indicate Joseph kicking or screaming. And the Bible will tell you what is relevant in life. Sometimes you can't go kicking and screaming. Even though it seems like you're in the midst of some madness, sometimes you need to go along with the madness to understand that you got somewhere to go. And as long as you are here and you allow God to be the center, see, I know that he was the center. Because you sell me into slavery, I'm going to act a fool. And they're going to record the record. But if God is in the midst, I might not understand. But Lord, I know that you gave me a dream, so I know you got a purpose in my life, and I know you're going to fulfill it, but it must be some more stuff I got to go through. All right. Circumstances, they weigh you down. Joseph was sold into slavery. The Bible doesn't mention any kicking or screaming. It said when some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Yeah. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Mm-hmm. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes, returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone. And where can I turn?" Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. Circumstances. They had the long robe with sleeves taken to their father, and they said, "This we have found. See now whether it is your son's robe or not." Dad ain't got to look real long. He recognizes it and said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his sons many days. All his sons and all his daughters sought to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father bewailed him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him into Egypt to Potiphar and Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Now look, I know I'm nowhere near finished this series, and I'm just walking it along nice and slow. But your circumstances aren't looking real good in your life. You don't know sometimes whether you're coming or going. But this young man was sold into slavery. and then sent to Egypt. As long as you keep your eyes focused on purpose, things won't get you down. Yeah, you may have some rough times every now and then, but we all fall down, but we get back up. When you know that Jesus is on your side, you may say, I got a temporary setback, but I won't be here for long, because I know that as long as I keep my eyes on the prize, I'm going to keep moving forward. He went from the pit into slavery into Egypt. Now, he could have took his circumstances with him when he got to Egypt. But if you keep reading, you realize that circumstance just don't outweigh the purpose. Because if you are those kind who just like to have the pity parties, I'm going to moan, I'm going to groan, I'm going to do everything in my power to show you how sour I am. You are going to stay sour till God calls you home. But if you learn how to shake off those circumstances and look forward towards your purpose, you realize that even though things are not right now, I'm on a temporary stomping ground. Now, if I wanted to, I could dive into the Egypt trip. But I'm going to say that for the next time. But there was someone who understood circumstance, and he could have easily folded his towel in. But when you understand that your purpose is bigger than your circumstance, you don't have to worry about throwing the towel in. Y'all know who I'm talking about. His name is Jesus. His circumstance was not looking real good. They had beat him up and placed a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him to the cross and stretched him high and stretched him wide. But circumstances did not keep him on the cross. As long as you understand that there is a purpose, see, Jesus knew, I am going to do what? Lay down my own life. You ain't take nothing. I'm going to lay it down because I understand that my purpose is bigger than this circumstance. If you begin to concentrate on your circumstances, you'll never make it. Your circumstances are designed to keep you down. As Christians, when you find who Jesus is, he says that old things become new. So if you knew, then that means you're not the same. So those old circumstances don't belong to you anymore. What did define you does not define you anymore. But you got to believe in your heart and in your life that God has saved me for a purpose. And as long as I know I got a purpose, see, I can look at man all I want. I can keep my eyes on you everywhere you go. And if I keep my eyes on y'all, I would not preach every Sunday morning. If I keep my eyes on man, I would not do Bible study. If I keep my eyes on man, I would not pay my tithes. If I keep my eyes on man, I'm going to do a whole lot of things that I just would not do if I was looking toward my purpose. I don't preach for y'all. I don't preach to impress. I preach before a holy throne, before a God who looks down low but sits high. I know who I'm preaching for. I know who I'm preaching to. I know who called me, who put me on the journey. So as long as I know that Jesus placed me on the road, it doesn't matter how good I sound. It don't matter how bad I sound. The fact is, did I get the word of God out? I'm just trying to tell you, keep your eye on your purpose. Some of you right now are in the midst of seeing your purpose fulfilled. But you're so busy caught up on your circumstance that God can't reach you. And so he's going to do what? Take you through some things. Because he wants you to understand that I'm bigger than all your circumstances. See, the problem is you keep trying to fix it. The problem is you keep kind of handling it. The problem is, and Jesus even showed us that way. Jesus said, you know what, Lord? I'm in some rough circumstances. I just ask that you would remove this cup. I'm in some circumstances. Can you remove the cup again? I'm in some circumstances. and I really don't want to face it. So if it could be, could you remove my cup?
Well,
then he said, well, I understand.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thy will be done. Because I know that your will supersedes my will. I know that my circumstances are bad, but the purpose that you've given me says that even though I'm about to go through some stuff, early on a Sunday morning, I'm going to get up with all power because my purpose. That was one reason why I came. I came to die and to get up so that we, so that you and I would not focus on our circumstances, but move toward our purpose because he's coming back. Will you be ready to meet him? Will you be ready to see him in the air? Change your life forever. Circumstance versus purpose. And I'll leave you with this. Your purpose is bigger than your circumstances. The doors of the church are open this morning.